So as we come to this passage in Exodus today, as Jeff just read out for us, what we see is Moses and God talking to each other. And there's some really great lessons for us to learn here, some really amazing things for us to see. But before we get into that, I'm sure you're wondering what this box is for. So is this on?
One, two.
Have we got this? Yep. I need my assistant to come up now. And I'm also going to need some brave volunteers. Someone who... Okay, there's a lot of hands. That's good. A lot of brave kids in this church. Okay. Why don't we go for... Do you want to come down? Okay, great. It's just coming down. Okay. Right. So, as he's just coming up to the front, the whole idea of what's going to happen is, I'm going to ask you... Do you want to come up? What's your name?
Avesh,
okay, great. So Avesh, what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask you to put your hand in this hole and not look, and I'm going to ask you to tell us what it is that you feel when you put your hand in the hole. Okay, so you ready? Okay, great. Now. What does that feel like?
Might be paint.
Paint? Okay, that's a good guess.
Yeah.
What, have you got any other ideas what it could be?
Glue.
Paint or glue? Okay, this is sounding quite messy, okay?
Yeah.
Any other ideas?
Well, it's very sticky. I'm not really sure.
Okay, do you want to take your hand out and have a look? What do you reckon that is?
It might be custard.
Yeah. Definitely is custard. Right, there you go. That's brilliant. Right, I'm going to give you a prize for being such a good sport. And I'm also going to give you some kitchen roll. There you go. Do you want to take a sheet and wipe your hand off? There you go. And there's a prize. Right, I need some more volunteers. So who wants to... Have a go. So you get chocolate out of it, so it's really, really good. I've got a special one for you, Declan, so I'll get to you in a minute. Who do we want to go for? I think, okay, Aaron, do you want to come up and have a go? Okay. Right, okay, Aaron, what do you feel?
Grapes.
You feel grapes? Oh, man, that's a brilliant guess. There you go. That's really, really good. Okay, there you go. There's a little thing there. Okay, that wasn't too hard. Okay, who wants to go next? Oh, yeah, right at the back there. Do you want to come down? And how many have we left?
Three.
Okay. What do you think? Okay, we want one more person to kind of come down now as well. Okay. Why don't we go for? Do you want to come down as well? Okay. And then Declan, do you want to come up as well and just be ready? You're ready. Okay. You're ready for them to come down. You'll really enjoy it. I promise. You're coming. Okay, great. Excellent. Yep, do you want to come up? Okay. Could you, what's your name?
Amira.
Amira? Okay, great. So do you want to put your hand in the hole and tell me what you feel?
Oh, I like baked beans.
Nice. Yeah, that's baked beans. Those are quite distinct, aren't they? Declan, do you want to make your way up? Aaron, I forgot to give you a prize, didn't I? There you go. Right. This is going to be brilliant. Okay, so...
Is it a spider?
It's definitely not a spider, don't worry.
What is that? Oh, it feels like something like an egg tart or something. Disgusting. it's like spiky.
Do you want to lift out the ball and have a look at what it is? Could you tell us what that is?
It's like a fish.
It's a baby octopus. So you can have this or you can have the prize.
Does anybody want
it? I don't think they do. It's all right. Right, I'll give you a prize. Thanks for being a good sport, man.
There you go.
All right,
thank you. Thought you were special. Thank you.
Great. Yeah. Sure. Sorry. There you go. I think you deserve one after that. There we go. Right, I think that's the end of that. So, do you want to have a big hand for my assistant? There we go. Great. Right, so you guys may be wondering, what on earth has that got to do with Moses and a burning bush and God speaking to him? Right, I'm going to get rid of this one now. Well, I think if we're going to start thinking about that, the thing that, what do you guys reckon it is that makes that a little bit scary or make you feel a bit uneasy? What is it that, that is scary about that? Yep. You don't know what's inside it? Great, that's a brilliant answer. Yeah, you don't know what you're putting your hand into. So there is a little bit of risk, isn't there? You don't know for certain that it's safe or that it's going to be nice. And some of those definitely weren't nice. So there's an element of risk. And the reason that you can put your hand into the hole is that it's based on trust. You know that I wouldn't, well, hopefully I know that you know that I wouldn't put anything dangerous there for you to put your hand into. But because you're in church, it's fine. Now, if you think about this, if I was just some stranger on the street, say on Stapleton Road out here, and you walked past me and I said, hey, there's this hole in the wall here. Do you want to put your hand into it? And you had no idea who I was, you probably wouldn't be that tempted to do it, would you? You probably wouldn't do it, would you? And kids, if you say yes, that's definitely not a good thing. Talk to your parents about strangers. It's not good. So what we find, actually, is that Moses is in a very similar situation in this passage when God speaks to him. Should we have the first few verses up on the screen? This is from verse 9, and it says, "And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me." This is God speaking. "The cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." Moses is in a situation, and God speaks to him and says, "Now is the time that I'm going to act. I'm going to save my people from their slavery, and I want to use you to do it." Can you guys imagine how Moses must have felt hearing those words from God? God saying, "I want you to go to Egypt, and I want you to rescue a whole nation from one of the most powerful peoples on earth." Can you imagine how Moses might have felt? Do you think that would have been a slightly risky thing for him to do? Do you think that there would have been an element of risk there for him? So, but to get a better idea of how Moses would have felt, let's have a think about Moses' life story. So kids, let's have a think about what's happened to Moses so far, okay? So he was born as an Israelite. He grew up in Pharaoh's household as one of Pharaoh's children, but he knew really that he was an Israelite. So when he got older, about 40 years old, he wanted to rescue his people from slavery. He wanted to free them from the Egyptians. So what happened is he actually ended up murdering one of the Egyptian slave masters who was beating one of the Israelites. But this all went horribly, horribly wrong. The Israelites completely rejected him and said, "Who made you Lord over us? Who do you think you are?" And now the Egyptians wanted to kill him because he had killed one of the Egyptians himself. So he had to run away to a faraway country called Midian. And while he was there, he spent 40 years living there as a shepherd, looking after his father-in-law, Jethro's, sheep. So he spent 40 years as a shepherd, and now God is speaking to him, saying, "I want you to leave this safe life, this security, this thing you've got used to, and I want you to go and do something incredibly difficult and incredibly scary." And I think that any one of us, if we were in that same situation, would probably have responded exactly like Moses. If we can get the next verse up on the slide, verse 11. And verse 11 says, "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?'" Moses hears this from God and he says, "How on earth could I ever possibly be able to do that? In what world could I do that? Who am I to do that, Lord?" And how does God respond to that? How do you think God responds to that question that Moses gives him? Do you think God responds in a way that's angry to Moses? Is he angry at Moses for not simply obeying and just doing what he says? Do you guys think? No? No, so let's get the next verse up. God actually responds by saying, "I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." God actually responds with two promises. And this is the really interesting, this is the amazing bit. Moses questions God and says, like, "How could I do this?" And God responds actually by giving him promises. The first thing he says to Moses is, "I will be with you." He says to him, "Don't worry about your lack of ability. Don't worry about how unable you feel you are. Instead, stop looking at yourself and look at me. I am the one that's going to be with you." The promise is that God will be with him. And the second promise that God gives him is that he will bring him back to the mountain where he is right now. So while this conversation with God is happening on a mountain. And God's saying, I will bring you back to this place with all of Israel, and you will all worship me here. Okay, so to recap, God said to Moses, I'm going to use you to rescue my people. Moses has said to God, I'm not able. And God said to him, I am with you, and I will bring you back here, and that will prove to you that it was me who sent you. We're going to watch a movie clip now, and there is going to be questions and prizes. So as we're watching this clip, I want you to think about what is similar to Moses' story and what is different. Okay, so let's have the clip up.
The world is not in your books and maps. It's up there.
I can't just go running off into the blue. I am a Baggins of Bagend.
You are also a Took. Did you know that your great-great-great-great-uncle, Bulwara Took, was so large he could ride a real horse? Yes, well, he could. In the Battle of Green Fields, he charged the goblin ranks. He swung his club so hard, it knocked the goblin king's head clean off, and it sailed 100 yards through the air and went down a rabbit hole. And thus the battle was won. And the game of golf invented at the same time.
I do believe you made that up.
Well, all good stories deserve embellishment.
You'll have a tale or two to tell of your own when you come back.
Can you promise that I will come back?
No. And if you do, you will not be the same.
Okay, so the question I want to ask you guys, what's the same and what's different? So we get your hands up. Who reckons they can figure that out? Have we got any takers? What's similar to Moses' story and what's different to Moses' story? Have we got any guesses? Adults or kids, that's fine. Yep. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah, great. So for Bilbo, there were no promises at all. God didn't make any promise. Gandalf didn't make any promises to Bilbo. But Moses was being called, and he was given a promise by God that I will be with you and I will bring you back as well. So it's completely different situations if you think about it. Now, can anyone think of what is similar? Yep. Okay, yeah, so they both didn't really want to go. They didn't want to leave their comfortable situation that they were in. They were both being called out and both being told that they have to go and do this dangerous thing. But the real difference here is that Moses is doing it with a promise and Bilbo is doing it without a promise. So this is a completely different situation. God has promised, Moses, I am with you, and Moses, I will bring you back to this mountain as well. Let's hand out those prizes just really quick. Okay, so yeah. There you go. And I'll give you yours at the end. I can't throw that far. That's right. That's great. Okay. So Moses hears these promises from God, and then he responds in a way. So let's have that next verse up, Moses' response. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? This may seem like a very strange question to us. What does God's name have to do with anything in this situation? Moses has just been told, I'm going to be with you, and I will bring you back, and I'm sending you to the Israelites to bring them out of slavery. And Moses asks, what's your name? That seems like, to us, that's a strange question. And the reason it's strange is that, for us, names are just labels. They don't really mean anything. If I tell you my name is Dan, the only thing you know about me is that my name is Dan. You don't know any of my characteristics, you don't know what I've done, who I am, what I can do, what I can't do, you just know my name. But for the Israelites in that day, that was very, very different. Someone's name was a description of who they were, and it told them something about that person. So really what Moses is asking here is not so much what is your name, God, but God, who are you, and are you able to rescue the Israelites from slavery? And that's the question that the Israelites would have as well. So God, who are you, and can you actually do what you're promising that you will do? Which, that makes a lot more sense now. God said that I'm with you, but Moses has said, okay, you're with me, but who are you? Can you actually do this, God? Now, let's have a look at God's answer to that question in the next verse. God's response says, God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Now, Jeff was explaining earlier how that's a pretty weird response, just, I am. But what it actually is, it actually communicates a lot about who God is and what he is like. And I've just got a few little points here. And guys, this is really, really important. This is who God is and what he is like. God is revealing himself to Moses here. The first thing that this says is, Moses, I just exist. I simply am. I am who I am. I am there. And that's the end of it. Nothing can ever change that. Nothing can ever make me go away. I always was and I always will be. There is no other being in the entire universe that can make that kind of claim. God is unique in that way. He's completely set apart and completely above who and what we are in that he can say, I just exist. Everything else exists because of God. God says, I just exist. The second thing that God says is that, Moses, I am too big for just one name. Moses, I am who I am. I define who I am. That is as much as I can say right now. The whole idea that God is too big for a name. What were we singing earlier? God is higher than a skyscraper, deeper than a submarine. He's wider than the universe and beyond my wildest dreams. Kids, if you're trying to, if this is sounding a bit strange and theological to you, if you think about those words, God is taller than a skyscraper, so higher than I can imagine. He's lower than I can, he's bigger than I ever can imagine. He's beyond my wildest dreams. There's no way I could ever give him one name that could fully describe who he is. And lastly, is that God is saying, when God says, I am, he's saying that I am with you. That kind of, the words that he uses for saying, I am, goes back to the words that he says to Moses, I will be with you. So that the same phrase, and what God is saying there is that I'm really, really big, I cannot be defined by a name, and I'm with you and I'm working on your behalf. But there's something even more amazing than this. God goes even further with Moses. So we have a look at the next verse, which is our last verse for today. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever and ever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. The phrase I really want us to focus on there, guys, is, I am the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now, who here has heard of the names Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Put up your hands. Okay, yeah, that's pretty much most of the kids. And, oh, none of the adults have heard of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, well, that's not so good. But yeah, so you guys know that those are Old Testament characters, aren't they? They've come before Moses. But what's special about all those characters, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God revealed himself to all those people. So what God, in effect, is saying here is that I am the same God that revealed myself to your fathers, to the people in your history. The things that you know about me from then, those are true about me now. But what's really amazing here, what God is really saying, is that not only am I big, not only can I not be defined by one name, and not only am I with you, but I'm also a God who reveals true things about myself to you. I revealed myself to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I'm revealing myself to you now, Moses. I'm speaking to you. I'm telling you who I am. Which is actually amazing if you really think about it. I think we can't really fully understand what it means for a God that's that big to make himself known to us in little ways. We can never fully know God, but we can know true things about him. So you may be wondering, what is all this about? This is great. We've kind of looked at Moses' story, his conversation with God, and we understand what's going on there. But what difference does that actually make for us? There's a phrase that I want you guys to kind of capture from this, and that I think this passage really teaches us, is that we will only trust God, we will only obey God when we trust him, and we will only trust him when we know him. If we look at Moses' story, at Moses' conversation with God that we've just looked at, Moses is called to obey God, and God tells him to obey him based on the fact that God is with him. And that takes trust. Like you putting your hand in that box, you had to trust me that I hadn't put anything difficult or hard in there. You know that I'm not a mean person. You know that I'm not going to put anything dangerous in there. And it's the same with obeying God and following his commands. We'll only obey him and do what he tells us to do when we truly believe that he works all things together for our good and that he truly loves us and that we can trust that he is completely good. But the fact is, we will only trust him like that when we know him. And this takes us to Moses' next set of questions that he'd been asking. God, who are you? What are you like? And guys, especially for the kids, I would say, and for the adults as well, this is one of the most important questions you can ever ask in your life. God, who are you? What are you like? And how can I know you? How can I know you? That question will define your entire life. It will define how you spend your money. It will define how you treat your friends. It will define how you treat your family. It will define every aspect of your life, what you think about God and how well you know him. Now, you might be thinking, okay, well, that's all great. Moses had a burning bush. I've never had a burning bush. Moses had the direct voice of God speaking to him. I've never had the direct voice of God speaking to me. So you may be wondering, okay, that's great. Moses can know God, but how on earth can I know God like that? How can I know God so well that I can trust him, even in dangerous and risky circumstances? And I think one of the most amazing things about the Bible the Bible teaches that Moses had the burning bush, he had the revelation of God, and that was really great. But we have something even better. God has spoken in a way to us that he has revealed even more about himself than he ever revealed to Moses. We see more of God than Moses ever saw of God. Now, what am I talking about? What I'm talking about is the person of Jesus Christ. We have our next verse up on the slide. These are some words that Jesus spoke to his disciples. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, this is a really, really key passage, and we're just going to look at this quickly as we close. But Jesus says three things about himself. He says, "I am the way." So the thing you've got to ask there is, the way to where? Where are we going? From the context, Jesus is talking about heaven. Jesus is talking about presence, in being in the presence of God the Father. And what that's talking about is having a restored relationship with God. See, the fact is, for any human being on the earth that has ever known anything true about God, has only ever been because of Jesus. And the reason for that is that when Jesus died on the cross and took our sins, he made that communication between God and man possible again. Because as we've been looking at throughout this series of Exodus, God is holy and we are not. We cannot approach God. So in Jesus, God is approaching us and making the way open to himself through Christ. The second thing that Jesus says is, "I am the truth." Now, the truth about what? Jesus is saying, "I am the truth about God. I am the truth about him." Jesus also said at a different point in Scripture, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." So if you want to know what God is like, you can read the Gospels, you can see God displayed in Jesus, displayed in who he is, how he acts, and how he treats people as well. And finally, Jesus said, "I am the life." Now that last phrase, "I am the life," depends on the first two. Jesus is the way to God, to open a relationship. Jesus is the truth about God. He makes God known to us. And only when we're in relationship with God and when we know him, do we truly have life. Okay, so that life is based on Jesus being the way and Jesus being the truth. So what that says to us is that we can know who God is through Jesus. And the fact is that that is so important. So the question I want to leave you with today is, does God feel like a stranger to you? Does God feel like a stranger to you today? If he does, I would encourage you, firstly, that you will never obey, you'll find it very hard to obey God if God feels like a stranger to you. Secondly, I would just encourage you that if that is the case, I would encourage you to look at Jesus, to look at him in the Gospels, look at the Bible, look at how God has spoken and revealed himself through history, and most of all, look at Jesus, the way that God has spoken and revealed himself in Jesus and made a way for us to be with him. It's foundational for your whole life. It's in fact foundational for trusting him and for knowing him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we've been able to hear from your word this morning. We thank you that you speak to us, that you reveal yourself to us. God, thank you that you're bigger than any problem or situation that we face. Thank you that you were big enough for Moses. Thank you that you are big enough for us. Lord, thank you that you reveal yourself to us, that you want to know us and be in a relationship with us. Thank you that that was true for Moses. Thank you that that is true for us as well. Lord, we pray for the children in this room. Lord, we pray that you would put that question in their heart. Who are you, God, and how can I know you? How can I know you? Lord, we pray that that would be the foundational question of their lives. We pray, Father, that would be the foundational question of our lives. Lord, we pray that we would continue to seek you and continue to want to know you so that we can obey you and so that we can trust you. Amen.